Eli, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Dear wonderful Heavenly Father, please forgive me for my sins and trespasses against you. I thank you so much for the school and all the teachers and all the time that they put into their studies. And I ask that you continue to give us a good understanding of these things. And I pray that you'd work with each of us and draw us closer to you and more perfectly into your way. And I also ask that you'd strengthen all the congregations of the churches represented here tonight so that they would desire to be a part of your bride and that they would love you wholeheartedly. And I pray that you'd help Brother Bo now to present your word to us well. And I thank you for the countless good things that you do in our lives. Thank you for placing us in this area so that we can have the privilege of being able to attend this school. And I just thank you for the great price that Jesus paid to purchase the New Testament church. And please help all of us to never take that for granted, but to love the church and love you above all things. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, Leviticus chapter 11. First part of my lesson this weekend doesn't take us too long to get through because the first part I've been getting in my own head a little bit thinking, we don't need to go over this. We know this stuff. We know it super, super well. It's going to be boring. Everyone's going to be bored. We're not going to want to go over this, all that. But we do have to be reminded. We do have to continue to go over these things in the scriptures, and Brother Cooper's class a little bit, and then Brother Mike at the beginning of his class. If Peter and the church in Jerusalem would have just remembered and continued to talk about that Gentile church we started in Caesarea in Acts chapter 10, like, they started that church. They started that church. They sent Peter, came back and told them, and they were baptized by the authority, obviously Peter, but at some point they stopped talking about it. At some point they forgot about that. At some point and then as years went on, and then Acts 15 happened. So, sometimes things are boring. Sometimes things, we've gone over them 19 times, it seems, but I don't know. We can't get bored. We can't get, there's always something to learn. There's always a line or a precept or a doctrine that can be strengthened, that can be added to. So anyways, hopefully it's not too redundant and too boring here, at least in the beginning. But Leviticus chapter 11, I'll refer to a couple verses here. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible tells us that the law was a figure. There were things in the law that were a figure of things to come. And chapter 10 and verse 1 tells us that it was also a shadow. So we use the terms types, shadows, and object lessons, types and anti-types. So I guess a thought for us this week or this weekend to consider going through this lesson is, what is this shadow? What are these types and shadows and pictures showing us? A couple weeks ago, we looked at some pictures. What is the picture? What are these shadows and object lessons? What, as we analyze them, as we look at them, what is the Lord wanting us to see? And we're going to continue with looking at the Jews, and even, as we saw tonight, even We'll get into Acts 15 a little bit, probably next weekend, and Galatians chapter 2 and 3. The pictures and the message that God wanted his people to see, they weren't seeing it. They refused to analyze it accurately. They obviously had their own traditions. They had their own things they wanted to see, their own things they wanted to pull out of it that weren't there. And so they were supposing, or they were adding to. So Leviticus 11. Let's start reading through here. And I guess Brother Josh, let's just start with Brother Josh, and we'll split up the verses here. I want to read all the way through verse 23. So maybe start with Brother Josh. We'll work our way across the table and just up towards the front here. Let's do five verses each.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them which chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you.
And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch, they are unclean to you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you.
They shall be even an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcasses an abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten, they are an abomination. The eagle and the ossifrage and the osprey and the vulture and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind.
Coming this way?
Yes.
Okay. And the owl and the night hawk and the cuckrow and the hawk after his kind and the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, and the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat, all the fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you.
Are you there, Brother Michael?
Keep going through verse 23.
Me?
But whoever.
Yet these may eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all fours, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. And all other flying, creeping thing which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you.
And I'm not getting everything up here because I can't write that fast. But all right. So now let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 19. We are going to come back to this chapter, but Leviticus 19 and verses 15. Verses 16 through 20. Brother Jim, would you read verses 16 through 20?
Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy fields with mingled seed, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to an husband, and not at all redeemed nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free.
All right. And then one more, I guess one more passage of the law here. Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. I'm going to run out of room on the board. Starting in verse 5. Brother Eli, would you get verses 5 through 9? And Brother Doug, you could get 10 through 12 for us.
The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. If a bird's nest chance to be free, be before thee in the way in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitteth upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go, and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. When thou buildest a new house, when thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed, which thou hast sown, and the fruit of thy vineyard, be defiled.
Mm. All right.
Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself.
All right. Okay, now let's turn back to Leviticus chapter 11. I did not get everything written up on the board, but in my chicken scratch shorthand, I got a rough capture of some of these laws. Were these laws? Were these part of God's law? Yeah. They weren't just traditions. They weren't just a bunch of men from Israel that sat around and thought, you know what, we need four fringes on our garments. Let's make that a law. These were laws that God passed down. There were more than just Ten Commandments. There's movies made, and they've been hung in the courtrooms and all that stuff, hung in people's houses, sold at big lots, and all that stuff. But there's a lot more than Ten Commandments. So why? What's the point? The law was a figure. The law was a shadow. The law, there was a purpose to the law. There was something God wanted mankind to see in the law. And it was not, and I've heard this, I've been told this, but the law was not for the physical health of mankind. The law was not given so that the society of Israel would not consume it. Because I've heard that. Well, these were the laws of how their society was supposed to function. There were dietary benefits to keeping the laws. There's societal benefits to not killing one another. That's a good law for a town to have. You know what? We shouldn't kill one another. You know, if my ox keeps getting out and he keeps goring you or keeps causing, you know what? He probably should get shot. Or he should get, you know, that there are some, but that wasn't the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law. And so, you know, we looked last time at the leaven of the Pharisees. And he told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And we talked about how the leaven, or the how the Pharisees very clearly, they held to oral traditions. And they held to their, even the traditions that came from the law. What was the proper analysis of the law? Leviticus chapter 11. Why, you know, I tried to pick out some passages that would hopefully grab our attention. You read in there, don't be a talebearer. Don't have hatred in your heart. Don't take it upon yourself to go avenge somebody or bear a grudge. And then just in the middle of all that, don't sow diverse seeds in your field. Don't sew wool and linen together. Okay, God, I can follow you on don't be a talebearer. Don't have hatred in my heart. Don't bear a grudge. What in the world? Don't sow mixed seeds in my field? I can't plant corn next to broccoli? Like, what? I can't sew wool and linen together? What's he... Don't lie carnally with a woman. Okay? Don't dress like a woman. Got it. Don't kill a mama bird with babies? What is God trying to show us? What is the point? Every house, we got to have a battlement on our roof? Don't plow with a mixed team? Can't have... What is God... What's he trying to show us? What was he trying to show the Jews? You know, he said, you know, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. The rich man said, send Lazarus, send him back. And what did Abraham say? He has Moses and the prophets, if he will not hear them. There was more to the law than just what the Jews got out of it. There was more to the law than what some New Testament church members got out of it. We talked about some of them tonight, Acts 15. Oh, you got to be circumcised. There was more to it. There's more to this picture. There's more to the analysis of the scriptures. So a little piece of that here, verse 43 of Leviticus chapter 11. Verse 43. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. So, and I have not triple checked myself on some of this stuff, or even double checked, but so you could eat things. There's a few things with fins and scales that you weren't supposed to eat. They were unclean, but most things with fins and scales you could eat. Anything that didn't have fins and scales, you couldn't eat. So I don't know. I'm thinking like lobster. I'm thinking like
catfish.
Do they have scales?
No scales.
Okay. Octopus. Okay. But like shellfish. I don't know. I guess you can't eat those. Okay. Why?
Because God said so.
Are you good with that answer?
To who?
Fishing more.
No, I like, but is that good enough for you? What if you really want to eat it?
What do you say? Put fast food up there, you're on grubber.
Yeah.
No way, God.
So you can't eat eagles. You can't eat eagles, okay? But you can eat beetles. Why?
Bacon.
Because
can't have bacon.
Well, I've heard this, Brother Ryan. Well, you know, bacon is really bad for you. Mm-hmm. And that's why God told them they can't do it, because it's really bad for us, and we shouldn't do it. God was looking out for our health. That is not the point of the law. That's not the point. Are there benefits to keeping God's law? Sure. There's physical benefits. Yeah. But that's not the point. I don't know what the benefits of eating beetles are. I don't know. You know, they couldn't eat rabbits. So the point is, God said some things were clean and some things weren't. That's the point. Some are clean and some aren't. And you know what? You'll be fine. You'll be fine eating the clean stuff. And you'll be fine staying away from the unclean stuff. And the point is if you eat that which I have said is unclean, then you've made yourself abominable. Jake?
Leviticus 19 is one of my favorite passages because of two reasons. One, because of how many times God says, I'm the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only why. That's there are times in the Bible where God explains himself as to why. But there's also times where he says, because I'm God and I said so.
Have you ever said, because I'm your dad,
yeah,
I said
exactly.
So.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've heard that a lot growing up, too. And then Leviticus 19, to me, also, it shows the depravity of man. Like, why did God have to say not to do that?
Yeah.
Because God is establishing you are evil. You're going to do evil things. Or the evil things are going to come across your mind. Other people are going to do evil things. I'm holy. You're going to be holy. You are not going to do those things. Some of those things, like, I would never even think about doing that.
Yeah.
But God knew that that's what's in my flesh. And so he put it in his law and said, don't do it.
Yep. I agree with some, that's in our nature, you know, to you know, some men lie carnally with a woman or to bear a grudge or whatever. But, you know, again, what if all you got is a donkey and a ox? What if that's all you got? Well, God says you can't plow with them. Don't do it.
Well, you can plow with one, not both.
You can't plow with a mixed team. Brother Daniel?
I don't know if this is where you're going, but as you're bringing this out, the clean and unclean, you know, especially in thinking about our society, you know, and I've been around for a little bit, and you've seen society change, and in society, things used to be bad, now they're good,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, going even with, you know, Brother Jake was talking about, when God declares something that is unclean, no matter what people say, no matter what people think, no matter any compromise, no matter what society that you're in, right? The one I think, don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, that's what the Lord tells us. That's still true today.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care who you are, what society, however, you know, it is still unclean.
It's still
and
unclean.
So when I think about those, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why some of those are on there. Maybe there's reasons. I just don't get it. But I do see that he declares there are things that are unclean and there are things that are clean.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the Word of God. I may not always understand why the Lord tells me to do this, but he tells me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or he tells me not to do it. And so there is a reason. And so I follow that. No matter what my brain might tell me or think about, I hold to what the clean and unclean that he declares is.
Mm-hmm. And if God said something, and this is what I hope we could see tonight, if God said something was clean and unclean, they were to follow that,
mm-hmm.
to show the difference between holy and profane. It wasn't for dietary reasons. It wasn't for any other. If God said, don't sew wool and linen together, don't do it. Because you're supposed to show a difference. You're supposed to, and that's the picture. And that's what I want. That was the analysis of it. That was the picture. That's what God wanted them to get out of it. They missed that. They missed a lot of that. Same, and we talked about tonight, the circumcision. What was the picture, right? They missed it. Was there other hands over here?
Well, I've just said before, it is, they crossed over Jordan and he comes up with a battle plan to go march around, blow horns, and defeat the first enemy. Who's going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a bunch of people that got in a lot of practice
just
of
doing,
being taught of just doing whatever I said.
Mm-hmm.
And just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it because I said, as we heard a while ago,
mm-hmm.
and as they came up with the battle plan, okay, that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And not just, you're just do it. Yes, just do it. I've said just do it. For the Jake, for the Daniel, we've all said it. But hopefully we understand and we'll look at it. Do it by faith.
Yeah.
Right? Because, and that's where we get to Abraham. Abraham was an amazing example in the scriptures. Paul talks to the church in Rome about Abraham and how he sought it by faith, and he had to correct them on some things because the Jews did a bunch of things because of Abraham, but they didn't do it by faith. So,
first, through the scriptures, what God did call unclean, he made sure some of that was considered clean.
Mm-hmm.
So it is whatever God says. And what is it, Exodus 16 here, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather certain rain every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a real thing, that God says, here's a law, let's see if you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then he tells you, I'm going to give you a law to see if you're going to listen to me and obey me.
Mm-hmm.
So, that simple. We don't have to try to figure out what our dietary reasons are and what our laws on the land are, what birds. Listen, if I'm out there in the forest dying and a bald eagle walks in front of me, it's dead. I'm
mm-hmm.
I want to live another day.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
You might get arrested, though.
That's fine. I get four squares, right? Three squares, excuse me. So, the scripture bears out, because we have this problem today, and I think we've all experienced it to some degree, that there's folks that want to live under little bitty portions of the old law because, you know, those things are unclean. But when you read the New Testament, God fixed that. He said, oh, they're clean. It's bacon. Mm-hmm. We can have bacon, you know. And to not add too much into that. It's just about obedience. And isn't that our biggest problem?
Mm-hmm.
Just do what you're told, man. And it seems like we always want to, what's the term? Sharpshoot the process. Somebody gives you a rule, somebody gives you an order, and we want to analyze that, make sure, I don't know if that's really the right way of doing things. Well, who's the authority here? Do what you're told.
One Brother Nathan was talking about comes to mind with Sabbath. You weren't supposed to do anything. Pick up sticks, nothing on the Sabbath. And what did Pharisees do? Sabbath day's journey. They added to and, well, oh, God must have meant it like this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he said, if you eat the unclean thing, you're defiling yourself. Well, that doesn't make sense. You know, I was talking to somebody again this week, and we were talking about rattlesnakes, and this guy said they ate the rattlesnake, and I thought of Brother Ryan, because Brother Ryan was I read about mountain men eating rattlesnakes, but Brother Ryan told me one time about how he barbecued a rattlesnake. Well, under the law, you weren't supposed to eat it. You weren't supposed to eat a rattlesnake, but I've heard rattlesnake's good. I've heard it's really good.
It's a little tough.
Tastes like chicken.
Okay, well, under the law, you defiled yourself.
You have to keep the lid closed because it
will. Yeah, yeah.
It's a little hard to watch.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm not trying to pick on you, Michael, but did it have anything to do with whether it was safe for you or not safe for you?
No.
You can eat it.
It just has to do with God said don't do it, because if you do, then you've defiled yourself. You've defiled yourself. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of... That's the picture. I'm probably going to beat that. I'm going to sound like a broken record. But that's all it was. That was just the picture. The picture was holy and profane. The picture was clean versus unclean. The law will... We won't get to it tonight. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was our teacher. The law was to show us that we could follow, we could never touch one of these. We could sure try, and you know what? We were still going to offend. We were still going to fall short. That was the picture. That's what the law showed us. I want to finish reading. I got to at least finish one, Brother Daniel, and then I'll get you. So he says, verse 46, this is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth to make a difference. To make a difference. That was the law. That's what the law was about, to show a difference, to make a difference, all right? So turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Brother Daniel.
Going back to Brother Jason's class, and not just to bring people to salvation, but to bring all the way to the Lord.
Yes, yes,
that's
exactly.
That's essentially what you're bringing out.
Exactly, to, because the way, I am the way, right? God's way, it doesn't just stop right there, right? It keeps going, and we say this all the time, but man has nothing to do with it before salvation. We have nothing to do with it. It's all through Jesus. Even unto him be glory in the church, right? We have one mediator, all that. So, yeah. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was not done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. So, a lot in here. But a comparison of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Law, the ministration of death, you know. But he references here a little bit, and we get... I meant to keep going through verse 16. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Did you catch that there? The veil untaken. So the opposite of taken. So the veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. What's that saying? The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, right? Which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So they're not analyzing the law correctly. They're not reading the scriptures correctly. They're not rightly dividing it correctly. They're not studying it correctly. They're not applying it correctly. They're not listening to the direction of the Word of God. Like, we stood up here and, you know, Sister Dorothy told Michael which direction to go. That wasn't happening with them. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when you turn to the Lord by faith, the veil is removed. The veil is taken away. It wasn't that they didn't have the Word of God. It wasn't that they couldn't read the Word of God. It wasn't that it wasn't available to them. But it was a ministration of death. Was the point of the law to administer death? No. No. But because of that veil, because of their unwillingness to allow that veil to be removed, he says, even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So... turn over to Matthew 20:22. So, you know, we talk about the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. David went into the tabernacle one time and he ate the showbread. Did he break the law? He sure did. We looked at last time how Jesus and his disciples, they walked through the corn on the Sabbath day. Not only did they pluck the ears of corn, but they ate without washing their hands, which went against the tradition of the Pharisees, right? Okay. But they said, well, why do your disciples break the tradition of our fathers? But they were reaping on the Sabbath day. Did they break the law? Yeah, but, you know, again, the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. Matthew 22. Yeah.
I mean, you still hear from people today that this humanistic, we want to make a law to prohibit some behavior that we don't like. And that always cracks me up about eating without washing your hands. I don't know if you ever worked in industry before. Mechanics, carpenters, welders, whatever. Nobody washes their hands, man. Their bread's black before they start chomping on it.
Yeah.
Everybody's still living, you know, in their 70s and 80s. But that right there still exists today. We got to make a law so that people don't do those things that I think are bad and gross. Number one, I think there ought to be a federal law against anybody that doesn't wear deodorant. We should make that a law. Criminal punishment. Put them in jail. Hygiene, we need crystal clear hygiene. No hygiene, jail.
I'm going to vote for you.
I'm going to say, you're thinking he's the new governor, isn't it?
How about moving over to the slow lane on the highway?
Get out of my way.
You got my vote.
All right. Matthew 22:37-36. Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, where are these commandments found in the law?
First.
You find it?
It's in Exodus
20. Go ahead and look for it.
First one.
Well, Deuteronomy 6:4.
Can you read it?
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Is that 6:4?
And 5.
Yeah, and then can you read the next one? Just keep reading.
And these are the words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
All right. So, a lot of times we go to Exodus 20 and start off with, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right, and then thou shalt have no idols, and now this and that. But Jesus here says that these were the two first commandments. These are the two greatest commandments. Okay, so in the laws, all the laws, every single one of them, a lot of the laws fall under would apply. Or I guess if you were to organize them, they deal with your interaction and your relationship with God and your interaction and your relationship with your neighbor. So, you know, that's why he says, if you can't keep these two, you're going to have a hard time keeping
the rest of the law.
All right, Galatians 3:24. Let's see. Brother Christian, you want to grab that one for us? And then, Brother Jeff, would you get Ezekiel 22 and verse 26 for us? Go ahead, Brother Christian, whenever you get there.
Galatians 3:24?
Yes.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
All right. A great verse, and we'll get into that chapter 3 a little bit more, but just for right now, the law was our teacher. The law was the Jews' teacher. It was the nation of Israel's teacher. It was their instructor. The point of it, the figure, the shadow, the picture was to bring them to Christ. It was not to give them physical health and stamina, and to make them a physically superior nation to the nations around them. It was not to make them morally superior. It was not to, and we all know this, I know that we know this, but it crept into the early churches. Like, the book of Romans deals a lot with the law. The book of Galatians deals a lot, and the book of Galatians is written to multiple churches. The book of Galatians deals a lot with the law. So, oh man, this is so easy. It's so simple. Duh. Well, I mean, they allowed their own opinions and own philosophies and own thoughts to influence the way they read and studied and applied the Bible. And we can do the same. You know, Brother Mike has this picture up here. How do people get out here? How do people get here? Easy answer. They stop reading their Bibles. They stop studying their Bibles. Yeah, I mean, you know, Bible studies are a good thing to come to. School of the Bible is a good thing to come to. You know, you get out of the Bible, you get out of the Lord what you put into it. And there's a lot of God's people that don't seem very interested in actually reading and studying their Bible. They seem fairly kind of interested in just getting told, I guess, hearing other people talk about it, but their minds don't really get changed. The Word of God is what teaches us and instructs us. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Ezekiel 22:26.
The priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from the Sabbath, and I am profaned among them.
Okay. The priests got to a point, I don't know what all laws they started to break, but the priests of Israel got to a point where they stopped showing the difference between the unclean and the clean. They stopped showing the difference between the holy and the profane. And not just physically, but obviously spiritually. Obviously, there was no more indication, no more showing of the difference, like it says in Leviticus chapter 11. That was the point of the picture. That was the point of that blueprint, that structure that we looked at last time. The structure, how are our structures built? Where they're supposed to be built according to the Word of God. And that was that was the point. You know, just a year or two ago was the last time it got brought up, but I've had a question or a line of questioning that's been asked of me maybe three or four times over the 9 years that I've been in Crestwell, and it's all had to do with specific laws and why we don't keep them anymore. And they're specific dietary laws, and it comes to me every time. Well, God says they're unclean. And every time, every year or so, I get hit with the same line of questioning, and it's like, but if God says it's unclean and it's healthy for us, then we shouldn't do it. That wasn't the point of the law. Sure, there are great physical benefits to some of the things. Okay, I don't know how it benefits me to, if I'm, you know, turkey hunting and I see a turkey with a mother turkey. If I'm hungry, like Brother Nathan said, if I'm super hungry, I'm going to shoot that hen.
Blaspheming.
Well, clearly you're morally superior, and you're probably going to heaven because you kept the law. Okay.
You see that?
Well, I'm not going to be hungry tonight. So there we go. I don't know how that benefits me, but you know, God said not to do it. I guess, you know, what was the direction? What was the picture that God was trying to see? Get them to see 2 Corinthians 6, 14. You know, be ye not unequally yoked. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? I don't know. Does somebody know why you don't sew linen and wool together?
So unclean isn't mingled with clean.
Okay. That, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Good, good answer.
Gold star.
Good, gold star. Yeah, go get one from Burley Cooper. he hands them out. No, but seriously, does anybody know?
I think it has to do with shrinkage, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I know a little bit about it.
You just said it because God said
strength.
Okay, God said. But my point is I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, I've sewed up wool pants before. I didn't check to see what the thread that I was. I don't know if it was silk thread. I don't know what kind of thread it was. But God said, don't do it. Why? Because what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? And, you know, as they sat in their houses on the Sabbath day and they talked to their children and they went over the law, hey, Daddy, how come God said we can't sew, wool and linen together and stuff? Well, let me tell you, we're supposed to be a holy people unto the Lord. And there's a picture right here.
So, 2 Peter 1, the knowledge of Christ pertaining to things of life and godliness. Obviously, there was practical use to some of these laws.
Yeah.
They were slaves.
Yeah.
For 400 years, they've been told what to do. So they got to figure this out. There's practical use.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, the law's done away.
Yeah.
The New Testament said the law's done away. Is there practical learning that we can apply to our lives today as just things that pertain into life through the law? For sure. I don't think you're going to see a bunch of donkeys out there yoked up with cows because it doesn't make any sense. That's a good practical use. Is that a law that we have to, if there's a guy out there with a donkey and a cow plowing, we should throw him?
Is he going to hell?
Well, probably.
Yeah.
Because he's not smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the thing about the New Testament. It says the law is done. James 2:10, right? You can obey the whole law, but if you offend in one area, you violate the whole thing.
And that was the point. That was the point of the law.
Yeah.
Was, not that you could be morally superior or you could obtain salvation or you could any of those things, but that it was to show the difference. Mm-hmm. It was to show the difference between that which was holy and that was profane. So, all right, let's stand.